We have a great guest on. I've been talking about this article in Ars Technica ever since it came out about 3 weeks ago. And I told our team, I said, get this guy on. It's the only article I've ever read that fully explains why Wi-Fi doesn't work these days. Jim Salter's on the line. He, by his own description, is a mercenary sysadmin, a contributor to Ars Technica, an expert on networking. Hey, Jim, welcome to the new Screensavers. I appreciate you joining us.
Thanks, Leo. Glad to be here.
So why does... It's a big question.
The big question.
Wi-Fi worked great when it first came out. 802.11b, when we first got it, it was great. Nobody was using it. I didn't have to put wires in the wall. I was thrilled. And it just successively got worse and worse and worse. We got A, we got B, A, N, G, and now AC. And instead of getting better and faster, it's gotten worse and worse and worse. Why?
Well, from my perspective, I don't know that I would agree that it used to be fine and then it got worse. It sucked from day one.
Okay, good. I
maybe
just was happy.
Trying to do much with it back then.
Yeah.
A lot of the problem is that Wi-Fi is marketed with these numbers that are basically intended to compete with wired networking and make it look like, Wi-Fi is just as good as plugging in the wire. And they're entirely different technologies with entirely different problems.
The first thing I learned from your article is that it's a collision-based network. In other words, if you can see somebody else's Wi-Fi access point, you're competing with them for airtime. If they're talking and you start your Wi-Fi access point talking, it goes, oops, sorry, and shuts up for a random period of time to let them finish.
Well, it has to. If it doesn't, then nobody gets any data across.
Then it's just shouting. Everybody's shouting. In fact, you have a great analogy. It's like being in a bar. If it's just the two of us talking, we can hear each other. People come in, they start making noise. So we raise our voice, which makes it noisier. So they raise their voice. Pretty soon, everybody's shouting and nobody's hearing.
Right. Which, luckily, that's not the way it works with Wi-Fi. With Wi-Fi, you actually have to be polite and your device has to let other devices speak. It would be worse if they didn't do that. You just have to realize that, yes, this is the case.
Well, in fact, it explains a lot to me because we won't let, for instance, we have a lot of Skype callers here on Skype. And what do we always tell you? Wired, right?
Wired, yeah.
And that's because we noticed that Skype would just drop out every once in a while. And that must be why, right? It stopped transmitting.
Well, Wi-Fi is so weird compared to wired networking. Some of the tests that I run when I'm testing these devices, I have a real-time progress bar. As I'm running the test, I can see, do I have fast speed or slow speed? And literally, if my cat runs through the room, I can see the numbers dip. I'm not
really?
Kidding.
Because it's bouncing off the cat. The cat is interfering with the radio frequencies.
You get a little bit of attenuation, or maybe it changes the RF multipath. It's not a huge difference.
If I had 12 cats, it would be really bad.
How many do you
more
have?
More cats, worse thing. Well, right. I have two children and a dog, so I'm not sure what that counts
as. But we're
cats,
all sacks of water, which are bad for radio, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
A human body is good for about 3 dBm of attenuation.
So roughly the same as an interior wall. So when I'm in the hotel and I'm like trying to stick my arms out to make better Wi-Fi signal, I'm not doing a good job of that.
No, for the most part, you're just making yourself feel better because you have something to do.
Thank you. I'm happy to hear that.
And this is good because now I can tell my son, you're blocking the Wi-Fi. Get out of the way.
Right.
Just like you can.
It's like I said, a human body is about equivalent to an interior wall in terms of attenuation.
Wow. So the solution we've come up with, and I think for the most part this is a lot better, are these new mesh networks. The first one we learned about was Eero, of course, one of our sponsors, Eero. But there are many of these. The folks at Ubiquiti who created the first enterprise version of these mesh networks, or one of the early ones, now has a consumer-grade product called the Amplify. This is the Amplify HD, which I understand is a little bit faster and better. It's really cool looking. Then there's Google in the business. They have the least expensive offering. We have prices on here. This is $300 for 3 base units. And I have my Orbi. This is what I use at home. But you tell me this isn't really mesh. This is just a kind of more traditional router with a satellite unit.
Well, I hate to say that. At this point, I think mesh has effectively been defined in the consumer space as you have more than one AP and you don't have to plug wires into the other ones.
Right.
You shouldn't even try to dial it in any further than that if you're talking about consumer products.
They're not really mesh, in other words, in the way that, say, an Ubiquiti enterprise system is a mesh system.
If you want to try to get into the more professional, you know, like Wi-Fi engineer terminology, then mesh is going to mean that you've got a complex topology and you can get back to the router more than one way. The satellites all talk to one another and they figure out their own best path. And Plume does that. Plume's about the only one that does that in the consumer
space. That's kind of the key on some of these is you can connect, like the Eero or the Plume, you can connect them to Ethernet. They don't just have to be a repeater of one base station. You could have multiple base stations, but it still creates one network with one SSID, one password, and the handoff is handled transparently by these devices. So that's one of the benefits of these systems?
Well, the more wired backhaul you have, the better.
Okay.
Basically, the biggest thing that will improve Wi-Fi performance is not using Wi-Fi. And plugging a wire into the back of your access point is one way to limit how much Wi-Fi you're using.
So if I'm in a three-floor home with lots of walls, what would I choose to use to be able to have my children, who are now on Wi-Fi, my husband, I, we both use quite a lot of bandwidth, and like the walls are kind of like this plaster wood kind of thing. What would I choose to go with in that type of a scenario?
You've got a couple of options there. If you've got the old plaster, like lathe type of walls, worse, the ones with the chicken wire in them are, you know,
they're
practically
metal. There's metal in the walls. It's like a Faraday cage.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You've got two approaches. One would be Orbi, like Leo's got, which Orbi has just a ridiculously high signal strength and may be able to punch through those walls.
So this one's shouting.
Yeah. But the better approach might be Plume, which has a lot of these little pods, and you've got a better shot at being able to get a signal from one pod to another through open doorways and whatever, and hopefully not actually have to go through as many walls.
And again, Plume, like the others, if you have an Ethernet port in one of these rooms, you can connect it as well, and it will still be all part of the network. One downside to Plume is all of them have a single Ethernet port, so you can't, you can't use them as you would the Eero or the Orbis. In fact, all of these have multiple Ethernet ports, so you can use a switch off of them and have wired networking as well. Right. This really, you'd need your own switch and then connect this to your network via the switch and then have this be a, kind of a separate, you know, Wi-Fi only network. So I do like these because they're pretty, and you just plug them into the wall. And one of the things I got, I think, from your article, and I probably misunderstood this too, so you correct me if I'm wrong, is that the best way to do Wi-Fi is to whisper, in effect, that if you use 5G, which doesn't go through walls as well, and you create pools of Wi-Fi in the rooms you want, that you'll do better than trying to blast Wi-Fi throughout the whole house. Is that accurate?
That's absolutely accurate, but the devices have to actually set it up properly. Some are better at it than others. Plume is incredibly good at that because it tries to use all of the spectrum that it can with the individual pods on different channels. So if you're streaming, you know, 4K Netflix onto a TV in the living room and you're trying to download something with a tablet, you know, your kid or your wife is, you know, over in the bedroom, you're not going to be actually competing between those two devices because they're using different channels and they're not contending with one another for the Wi-Fi bandwidth.
That's one of the things all of these offer as well, is the automatic switching between 2 and 5 gigahertz, automatic switching between channels. They handle all of that transparently, so you don't have to. I have an old Asus router where you've got three, you know, bands, 2 5G and 1 2.4, and you have to pick the one you want to be on. That's not as good as being able to hand off and be intelligent about how the network's managed.
Correct. And, you know, that's another thing that differentiates these mesh products is how well they handle routing and band steering. And Plume gets nailed a lot in the press because it doesn't have the biggest raw throughput numbers. But it's incredibly good with handing off a device as you walk through the house from one pod to another. Most of these devices, you know, they're either pretty good at roaming or they just absolutely are terrible at it, you know, like old school routers.
Right.
I actually wrote a script on my test laptop when I test these devices that goes bing every time the laptop goes from one access point to another. And it kind of freaks the kids out when I'm walking through the house testing these things. And, you know, with Plume, like literally I'm walking from room to room and it's just going bing, 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 you know, going from one pod to the next without any intervention on my part at all.
Now, I use the Eero at my mom's house. What I've noticed is that different ones work better in different environments. Is that possible?
I'm thinking that if you're like one person in a concrete bunker, the Orbi would be the way to go.
Well,
right?
This is what I use at home, but I think I'm doing it for the wrong reason, because I did a speed test on this, and it was twice as fast as anything else. The Plume was 120 megabits. This is 240 megabits.
But you were the only one testing it at the time.
Well,
exactly.
Multiple tests.
Is that why?
Yeah, exactly. Multiple devices are going to favor Plume setup much better than just
got it.
A single,
so if it was just like, if it's just you and you want the best throughput, this would be great. But if you have multiple people and you're roaming and who doesn't nowadays have a lot of stuff? I also noticed I have a lot of other Wi-Fi things on my network that I didn't even know about. The Rokus, for instance, set up Wi-Fi Direct. They're Wi-Fi access points. Get out of my network, Roku. I'm not going to use Wi-Fi Direct. You can't disable it.
Yeah, no, you can't. Well, the remote controls for the Roku are also 2.4 gigahertz wireless.
So that's why I try to use 5 mostly, right?
Yeah, well, 5 is a lot better as long as you can connect to the 5, because you don't have the range and throughput. Well, that sounds like a bug, but it's really a feature, because since you don't have the range and penetration, that means you don't have as many things competing for you on 5.
That's the key. So what you want to create is, if you think of it as light, little pools of light in each room.
Right.
And they're kind of discreet. They don't go beyond the room. You're not getting interfered with other people, because their 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi of the neighbors isn't getting into your house either. So in some ways, it's counterintuitive, but the low range of the higher frequency is actually good.
Yes, especially if you live in an apartment complex. If you live in an apartment complex, you do not want to be using equipment with a ton of range and penetration.
Yeah. So have you tried? I mean, we're looking at the Amplify from Ubiquiti, the Google Wi-Fi, the Orbi, the Eero, and the Plume. You've tried these all?
I've spent ridiculous amounts of time testing all those and more. Yeah.
Are there noticeable differences between them?
Absolutely. Very big differences. Like I said, one of the things that people really notice, and that's one thing you have to look at, is are we talking about a difference when I'm sitting here with my laptop camped out next to an access point running speed tests trying to get a big number to talk to my friends about? Or are you talking about differences actually living with and using the equipment?
Well, that's what I want. I want like a little cheat sheet. So I have like Bunker for Zombie Apocalypse, the Orbi.
That's the
I
Orbi.
Have the house with lots of cats. We have the Plume.
The Plume.
What would be the use cases for the...
In my experience, the Google Wi-Fi is the least of good of all of these. I was just not happy with the Google Wi-Fi that
because...
much. How about you, Jim?
I would put an Amplify HT at the bottom of the crop that you've got there on the table.
Amplify's you'd think it'd be the best. It's from the company that's been doing this longer than anybody else.
Ubiquiti. You would think so. I love Ubiquiti's UAP access points, but I feel like they missed pretty badly with Amplify.
Oh, that's too bad. There's 200, $350 down the tube.
Well, it's still going to be a big improvement over whatever crap router you got lying around the house.
That's a really good point. I have a good Asus, AC... whatever it is, 5200 router that I really like that served me well for a while, but none of them, I mean, all of these are better than that, which is weird because, that was a high-end device.
What's the ARM for on this? What's the use of the small...
You can... Did you break it?
You
broke it?
Yeah, you can pull it apart.
Never going to have me back.
In.
I'm sorry.
You broke it. No, it's
it comes
pull
off.
It comes
it does
off.
Pull.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Just pull it.
It's just
it
a magnet.
Right off. Yeah. It's magnetic. It's kind of fun to play with.
Oh, that scared the life out of me. I was like, I'm just going to put it back.
So that's a tune-up. That's an aimable antenna. Is that just a gimmick?
Well, usually the antennas are a complete lie. You get these routers that are just bristling with antennas.
So my Asus has 6 antennas. It looks like an upside-down spider.
The AC is a lie and the antenna's a lie.
Yeah, they're all you can wiggle them around and they really are antennas, but they're omnidirectional. There's almost no difference in anything you can do.
I feel like such a sucker.
Now here's the thing,
cool.
The Amplify, those mesh points actually are directional. Now the question is that a feature or is it a bug? Because the most signal comes out of the front of that little mesh point, not the back or the tops or the side.
So you aim it,
yes, you are blasting out more signal that way. But you have no way of marking where your perfect, awesome orientation that you theoretically figured out was. So, what happens when your kid or your dog or your roommate or whatever knocks it and changes it, how are you going to get that back?
So you tried them all. And it sounds like the ones you're using at home are the Plume. And is this your general recommendation?
Right now, I'm using Ubiquiti access points at home with wired backhaul. I'm probably going to start using Plume for real because my editors at the Wirecutter would like me to dog food it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we like to do long-term testing. And I'll be honest with you, my editor at the Wirecutter has been kind of dubious about me singing the praises of Plume because everybody, you know, says, oh, well, the throughput's so low. And I keep saying that's not really what this is about.
That's what I noticed. So, it seemed like it was slower, but because it's better for multiple devices and it's spread out. Yeah. I got one per room, which is what their recommendation is. They don't get outside the room that you're in pretty much. How do they? Well, what's the backhaul though? How do they talk to one another?
They're dual band devices, AC1200. They each have a 2.4 gigahertz radio and a 5 gigahertz radio.
Yeah.
And if you find the little topograph on there in the article, it actually shows you what the backhaul looks like.
On their app, it does too. I don't really understand what it is. It looks like one of those weird kind of multicellular organisms about to separate.
It decides whether it wants to use 2.4 or 5 for the backhaul on each individual pod talking to the other pods.
Okay.
That's the app view right there. The bigger view lower down in the article was from their actual NOC, and it's a little bit better because you can actually see what channels it's using.
So the wavy line is the backhaul or the direct?
No, the squiggly line shows that that's a 2.4 gigahertz connection, and the straight ones are 5 gigahertz.
Got it.
So if you look, you'll see like Jim's office is connected on 153 to the den, which is connected on channel 11.
Oh, that's
which
interesting.
Is 2.4.
So they choose not only the frequency, they choose the channel as well to make it.
They choose
the best.
Frequency. They choose the topology. You know which pods connect to which. You don't manage any of that. It does it all for you.
How about firmware updates? Do you think they're pretty good in terms of keeping these up to date and improving the quality as time goes by?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They spend a lot of time on that, and they actually have three different pools. They have basically two different kinds of beta pool that mostly people who work for Plume might be in, and then they've got a production, and they'll test out optimizer rules on the, basically call it the alpha and the beta before they decide if they like it and they push it out to production. So they do like much more aggressive things to their own devices that might have consequences. Test them out there, and then once they know it all works, they push it out to their customers.
Well, I really appreciate this. Again, thank you for writing an article that, at least to my limited ability, explains why Wi-Fi is so bad. That's on Ars Technica. Also, direct reviews, and I take it we're going to look for your Wirecutter review of the Plume. Will it be the Wirecutter's recommendation?
Well, you know, the Wirecutter's mesh guide is the first version of it is already out. It's a few months old now. The update is going to push probably next week, maybe the week after. And I don't think I'm allowed to tell you yet.
Oh, man.
But it's going to be the number one.
You have to wait. All right.
I will tell you, you know, the top two, obviously, you've been talking to me. You know, the two that I like are Orbi and Plume.
Yep. Well, thank you, Jim, for writing such a great article and for coming on and giving us a little more clarity onto why Wi-Fi is so bad. And some hope that it can be better with the right Wi-Fi router. And those mesh routers are better.